Hello, friends. This is Griffin. You're about to listen to My Brother and Me's heretofore untitled holiday special. As we promised, it is relatively free of cursing if you want to listen to it with your family, except for, the first minute or so features a song that is full of quite a bit of cursing. So just a heads up, if you're watching this with Mama and Papa and Lil Bro and Big Bro and Sissy and Unky Dan around the fireplace, and you don't want to hear any curse words, you may want to skip forward by about a minute, starting right now.
Fuck you if you don't like Christmas and Kwanzaa. Fuck you if you don't like Eid and Hanukkah. Fuck you if you don't like Thanksgiving. You gotta be grateful. Fuck you if you don't like Goodwill to Men. Fuck you if you don't like presents in the den and stockings hung by the motherfucking fireplace with care. Fuck you if you don't like working for a living. Fuck you if you don't like the spirit of giving. Fuck you if you don't like yams from a can. And fuck you if you don't like honey-baked ham. Fuck you if you don't like eggnog. Fuck you if you don't like other kinds of nog. And fuck you if you don't like reindeer dogs. Fuck you if you don't like Christmas. Fuck you if you don't like Christmas. Fuck you if you don't like Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's it? Waited. That's what you're bringing? That's your original?
That's why Christmas Heat is to say ho, ho, ho at the beginning.
As true today as it was in Santa Claus's day.
My original thought had been to say ho, ho, holidays.
That's the worst, Justin.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty good, right?
Were you struck in the head with something recently?
Let me try again. Let me start over.
Let's just fire off like 9 or 10 different.
Born unto us this day is a child named Wisdom.
That was good.
A star of knowledge and enlightenment, while three wise men named Justin, Travis, and Griffin.
Okay, now that's a vein that we can tap into.
Yeah, definitely.
Why don't you try again?
Three wise men. I like that.
Make the three wise men more of a focal point.
The three wise men were the true center of the first Christmas.
Every 25th of December, we get together and celebrate three wise men appearing unto Jesus.
So there's gold, there's frankincense, and there's myrrh. Which one of us, like, which gift would each of us have brought? Because I think I would have brought the frankincense.
Yeah.
I think I would have done myrrh, because I'm on a budget.
But see, gold seems a little too gaudy for Justin.
Me? Yeah, no, I would. I was back then. You know,
could it be frankincense, myrrh, and Pokemon cards?
Yeah, Justin and I would probably both bring myrrh because we didn't talk about it beforehand.
Yeah, I would bring gold because I would be super into my Joey Buttafuoco face.
Yeah,
sure. I would just have chains and stuff. That was me back then. That was it was literally thousands.
Approximately 2,000 years ago.
Not approximately, yeah. Griffin. We know exactly how long ago it was. 2009 years and 360 days is how long ago. So this is My Brother and Me Teach Me How to Holodougie. This is an advice show for the modern era.
There has to be a better name for it than that.
I don't think there is.
The only other one I could come up with was Teach Me How to Snuggie, but I feel like that's right in that same vein.
Griffin, you're talking to a man whose best intro was Ho Ho Holidays. I'm not going to be able to come up with a better name.
I don't know. I appreciate the candor of your terrible holiday references.
So it's called the episode Christmas Time.
What about
Christmas Time?
Holiday Snowdown.
Holiday Snowdown, sure. This is, like we said, an advice show for the modern era. We're three actual brothers. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Griffin McElroy.
And we're trying our darndest, and you know it's true because I said darndest, to do a holiday show, a family holiday show appropriate for all ages. And so this is going to shake out one of two ways if you're listening with family members. Either you are going to share a really nice 50 or so minutes, or you're going to share a nice 25 minutes followed by 25 minutes of awkward silence.
Now we kind of screwed that up with our intro song. But really, that I feel like it was so delightful and lighthearted that that profanity, you know, it wasn't vulgar.
No,
using the FCC's, you know, regulations for vulgarity.
Okay, yeah, I had forgotten about that. So sorry already, I guess. That's our buddy Drew Toothpaste. His name is not Drew Toothpaste. His name is Drew. He makes toothpasteforDinner.com, a delightful web comic. You should go buy his merch, and you should follow him on Twitter. He's at Drew Toothpaste. And maybe just say, like, hey, thanks. Thanks for the license. Thanks for letting the brothers use your tune. I'm a big fan for life. I'm your biggest fan now.
Yeah, just turn swim fan on him.
Yeah, that's good.
Go full swim fan.
Follow him around. Leave dead sparrows in front of his car.
Yeah. Say I'm a big fan of your show, and he'll be like, what show? And then disappear like a ninja. Hey, so let's get into the questions. Let's dip in. What's the best way to introduce your significant other to your drunken family at the family holiday dinner or party? Happy holidays from Mary in Manhattan. And that's Merry.
Love it.
Love it.
This seems ideal to me. This seems like it cuts down on a lot of the presh that, you undergo when introducing a significant other to a group of people.
It's like presh free because first off, they're only sort of going to remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like a built-in reset button.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a double-edged sword, though, because your significant other, next time they see your family members, if your family members are like, oh, hey, that could hurt her feelings or his feelings. Nah.
There's no greater gift than the next social engagement you're at. You know you're going to have a leg up because the person won't remember you. That puts them on the defensive.
That's a priceless form of social currency. Sometimes when I introduce myself to people, I say, oh, hi, I'm Grisha. And then, like, then I got all the power. I hold all the cards in that situation.
And the holidays are all about, holding all the cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if you're playing Skip-Bo. Holiday Skip-Bo.
You got a whole family together. The cable's out. You got, there's wassail, a big pot of wassail. And you don't know what to do. Well, why not Skip-Bo? That's a freebie.
Skip-Bo for the holidays. That's the new one. That's the new slogan. That one's for you, Skip-Bo Company.
thanks for the money, suckers. I think that you know, you say, hey, this is Deborah. Mm-hmm. Let her into your heart like you let Jesus into your heart 2009 years and 360 days ago.
Yeah, I would say unless your family is, like, belligerently drunk, it's not any different than introducing them to them at any other time. Now, if your family is belligerently drunk, might I suggest not?
No, screw that noise. Might I suggest drinking contests with your new, like, prove her or himself to them.
Oh, I like that, actually.
Or maybe just show up to the party with, like, a whole carton of 3-buck chuck. Like, hey, guys. You're soused right now. I'm going to take you to full-on blackout town.
Let's go to blackout town for the holidays.
I love it.
And yeah, this is a good time to introduce new loves in your life because...
Is it?
It is because strangers are almost like to be expected.
Yeah.
It's the only time where I think it wouldn't be weird.
Yeah, but there's a... I mean,
especially ceremony. If you've got extended family because you don't know them that well.
Maybe that's what I mean. The ceremony of the holidays. There's so much ceremony, and everybody's ceremonies are different. That's kind of what we're talking about today. Is people's, you know, what they do for Christmas. What's their normal style? And when you introduce new elements into that, I don't know. I think it can be weird for them. But it sounds like this person's tradition is drinking heavily, which I think most people can get down with.
The most important thing for you to do is to explain to your significant other what they should be prepared for. Because really, like, I think the concern here is not your family accepting them so much as it is your family is drunk at a family holiday party and you're bringing your significant other there and they are getting introduced for the first time. So just make sure that they are prepped and ready to go for, you know, your drunk uncle, your drunkle. Hanging out on the table.
Yeah, you don't miss a trick, do you?
Nope.
You just can't help yourself.
I love it.
Let's move on. What are some cheap gifts for Hanukkah? I can get from my friends without seeming cheap. I am in college and super poor. Any advice, Kara? Kara, sweetie, you done missed it.
What about Bible?
You done fell off.
Travis, are you suggesting that she convert to Christianity and that be her Christmas present to every, or her Hanukkah present?
No, I'm suggesting she convert other people. She'd be a force.
She'd be a force to win souls to Jesus. Is that what you're saying to me right now?
No, of course not. That's bigoted.
Happy holidays. I'm changing your religion.
No.
Man, maybe it's Hanukkah's winding down. You're like, boy, this has been fun, but wouldn't it be great to celebrate again? That's when you need to make the switch.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
Folks, if you're going to switch from Judaism to Christianity, you have to do it.
Got to do it like December 19th?
Yeah, like right around there. And then, surprise, I think you should, whatever you get, you should go to your friends and say, I'm sorry I got you terrible Hanukkah gifts. I asked three Baptists what I should get you. And they didn't, they said I should convert you.
Did not come through.
It did not play like how I thought it would.
You know, I used to think that nobody could do this successfully. Like I used to think like if you do not have money around Christmas or Hanukkah, you're just effed. Like there's nothing you can do there. But lately, I don't know. I've seen some people actually make some really nice things for other people that you know
scarves,
would be down.
Knit a scarf.
Yeah, a scarf. A nice scarf. A shawl.
Never underestimate like making dinner for your friends. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
a big group present. It'll cost you like $20 to cover everyone. And you know, if they're poor too, they'll probably appreciate the food more than they would appreciate, you know, a lighter or something. I don't know. What sure. do you get people on Hanukkah?
No, that's good. That's good because I think college is an appropriate age where you don't have to worry so much about like killing it with actual tangible gifts.
Yeah.
Like actual yeah. shows of affection are just as appreciated.
You know that old saying, it's a thought that counts?
Yeah.
I like to extrapolate that to its logical conclusion and give people gifts that they won't let me give them, to wit. Try this. When Christmas time rolls around, tell them you got them 2 months of maid service.
Ooh.
And then they'll be like, wow, that sounds really nice. And then on the first day, show up in like an apron with a duster and just look really sad and start cleaning their floor. There's no way they're going to let you do it.
Now, nice. Let's dissect that. What thought went into that? Other than like diabolical, like...
The thought was I'm going to get you 2 months of maid service and I'll do it myself. And the best gifts are the ones you make. Right? That's a thought that
so
counts.
Yourself
also,
into
it's
an
implying
indentured...
that your house is really dirty.
Yeah.
Turning yourself into an indentured servant is...
Yeah. The thought awful. I had is that you might like their house to be cleaner.
That's creepy. I don't like that.
It's not like a do-anything. It's not like those dirty maids that you hear about.
Yeah.
Not a dirty maid service. It's like a regular maid service.
Still upset.
Oh, another great gift, dirty maid service.
Yeah.
If that's available in your area. It's major metropolitan right now, but I think it's really... I read in Reader's Digest, it's really spreading out.
Reader's Digest, really? That's
yeah,
where that's where
I read about that.
Someone took an advert out.
Oh, another great cheap gift, Reader's Digest. They're like $3 a pop.
They're just get them every doctor's office.
Just get them from a doctor's office. It's free.
It's the gift that says, hey, it looks like you can't handle a real magazine. here's this little guy.
The thought was I was going to read a bunch of magazines and cut out the best parts and tape them together for you. But instead, I let these people do it for you. Mm. And I stole this from a doctor's office. My crazy aunt has made a list of things she wants from her relatives for Christmas. She even made my grandmom, her mom, buy a pot she wants and told her to get the money for it from me for Christmas.
That's a lot of stuff.
What do I do? What?
That's a lot.
Well, I'm not even sure I understand the... Because incept this for me, did I?
Her crazy aunt has a Christmas list, right? Like a list of things she wants for Christmas. She made her grandmother, by which the question asker's mom, buy a pot and told her to get the money. Okay. So the person asking the question gave her mom money to buy a pot for her aunt for Christmas. Not an ordeal. I don't see the ordeal here.
I think the issue here is the specificity of the list. And, like, to the point where it is less a list of suggestions and more like the aunt said, that's the pot I want, buy it now, and then just get the money from her later.
I think it goes deeper than that. I think she's saying, I want the question asker. Can we just call her, like,
Deborah.
Christmas Deborah.
I want
Christmas
Deborah to get me a pot.
Christmas Deborah.
That seems almost like that, like fetishist. Like,
yeah.
Make Deborah my Christmas will be ruined pot. Unless Christmas Deborah gets me that pot.
That just Christmas go ahead and get pot. It now before it's sold out. Get it now.
Get it now. Get the money today. Later. She has to get buy it at 9:46.
Now, I have had holidays ruined because people didn't bring me the pot they promised. that I can sympathize with. But
like, if she gets the pot from Deborah's papa, like,
yeah.
Is she going to freak out at that point? Like,
yeah. If my dad gave me pot, I would freak out. Yes, absolutely.
Well, this leads, I think, to a good discussion about lists.
Lists, such a holiday conundrum.
Yeah. On the one hand, it's kind of like a kidnapper. You're making really specific demands, and like you put things on there specifically so certain people will get them for you. Mm-hmm. But then there's without a list, it's a complete crapshoot.
Oh, it's it's rough.
Accent on the crap.
Yeah.
I have so many things now. Mm-hmm. The sliver of things that I want, of like material possessions that I would value, is so small.
Yeah.
Like I'm a white American in my early 30s. Like I have late 20s technically. It's like very late 20s. Super I have
like the latest twilight 20s. Years.
The twilight years of my 20s. I have most of the things that I would need.
Yeah,
including Twilight.
Yeah,
all the Twilight books.
Here's the thing, though. Papa McElroy and I agree that Christmas time is a test. It's a time to like prove how much you love someone by how well you know them by what gifts you can get them.
Yeah, that's it. It's not how much you get them. You're absolutely right. It's how well do you know me?
Yeah.
Like if you guys get me cookware, it's like actually I could actually use some cookware. That's a bad example.
I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a moving target. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
I think this is one area that I excel at. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think I'm pretty good at identifying what a person wants and needs and filling that desire with my dollars.
I'm pretty good with knowing what girls want and girls need. Mm-hmm. But as far as just regular people,
whatever makes them happy sets them free.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't believe I knew the second line. Yeah. I can't believe I could follow that up.
That's my Christmas gift to you, is that knowledge.
That realization.
Remember that on Christmas Day because you're not going to get as much as everybody else.
Shit.
I think this is a classic question, but what do I get my boyfriend's parents for Christmas? We've been together for almost 2 years now, and I've actually spent more time at his parents' house in the last 2 years than at my own. I'm in grad school, and he lives much closer. I want to get them something that says, "Thank you for letting me sleep in your son's bed without judging me too much," but not, "Hi, I'd like to be your new daughter. Thanks, confused at Christmas time."
Ooh. Fine line.
Gotta walk that line.
Gotta walk it.
Have you considered a card? Like just a nice card? Maybe you can make it yourself that says, "Thank you for letting me sleep in your son's bed without judging me too much."
A little literal for my taste.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Christmas time. Cut out the middleman.
Sure. Cut out sentimentality.
If you've been with this dude for 2 years, why are you afraid of a gift that says, "Hi, I would like to be your new daughter"?
Don't you want to be?
Yeah.
Oh, let's not bring it down. Let's not bring our Christmas show down by talking about how this person has commitment issues.
But what I'm saying is, you sleep at their house. You spent more time at their house than at your own. Maybe it's time to accept the fact that you probably don't need to worry about what you get them for Christmas.
Well, you should actually, reverse of that, have to worry more and more each year.
It expounds.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh man, I've missed the boat.
Can I? I think a lot of times people, you think too much about who you are relative to the gift you're getting, and I don't think that matters to people so much. I think if you think about them as
people,
just as the person, and what that person might like, then I don't think you send like the only time I think you send messages with a gift is if it's like a ring or a key or something like. Yeah. I don't think people read into it that much. Maybe that's just me.
No, you're completely right.
Don't do frame photos. Stay away from frame photos.
Yeah, that does the same thing. Hey, here's the thing. If you are having trouble identifying your, you know, potential, what is that? parents-in-law? Yeah. Your parents-in-law, like your potential parents-in-law, what they, what kind of people they are, what they might want. Maybe that's a sign that, you know, maybe you should spend some more time with them and get to know them a little bit better.
That's a great present.
That's a great present. Or, I mean, it sets you up for ease of use for future, you know, gift-buying things. Like, you ideally, you would know them as well as you know your own parents, and you would know what to get them.
What I would suggest is everybody has, like, that main thing that people think about when it comes to getting gifts for them, like, oh, he really likes dogs, so I'll get him something dog-themed. You want to go for the second level that less people know, but they still really enjoy, and then get them something non-specific themed to that. So it's like, I know you well enough that I know you like this thing, but, you know, it's I don't want to be your new daughter.
That can really bite you in the ass, though, if it's like, I know you like books, so here's a, you know, here's a Barnes & Noble gift card.
Ooh, don't, I don't
see,
think
gift cards are... for parents, potential parents-in-law, I don't know. That seems
you
a little...
You can go more specific than that.
I bought you a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. I brought you to Barnes & Noble to pick out whatever you want. Get in the car, it's Christmas. I'd like to let you guys in on a little Justin McElroy jam, a little secret from me to you.
What's that?
If you're spending a lot of time at their house, get them something that they can keep at their house that's going to make your life a little better. A couple of years back, I got my in-laws a surround sound system. They like it. I love it because I'm there all the time watching movies, getting a real sensory experience that I got them. Nothing says happy holidays like something that's going to make you happy too. If you want more specific, for the dad, get the new Mark Twain autobiography. And for the mom, get a Snuggie. It's a gift everybody wants, but nobody will buy themselves.
See, I was going to say roller skates, roller skates, roller skating lessons.
Okay, good. Couples activity?
Couples activity.
Uh-huh. I like it.
Strengthen their marriage and embarrass them. Embarrass them on the street. Because, let's be honest, they're wearing roller skates.
Matching sweatsuits.
Matching tracksuits. I love it. That's a slam dunk. Hey, guys. Oh, you know what? Griffin, do you have any... give me Yahoo.
I do have a Yahoo.
Questions?
I only have a couple that are holiday themed, so I'm going to save those for maybe a little bit later in the show. Let's do this one instead. This one was sent in by Bridget. Thank you, Bridget.
Okay.
It's by Yahoo Answers user Jesse, who asks, why do I feel like I am a car?
What?
For some reason, I have an obsession where I know I am a car. Mostly a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. Like, I will be running and stop all of the sudden while doing my tire brake sound effect and act like I am slamming on my brakes on the interstate. I also like to make the BMW face while taking off really fast and doing the sound effects.
Wait, what?
What is the BMW face?
Is it normal that I feel like I am truly born a car, like a BMW or a Mercedes?
Is it normal? No. Hell no, it's not normal.
It's
what?
Opposite of normal.
Here's a good like normal acid test. If anyone ever has ever said anything like what you're saying, it's normal. But that is not your case. Like, you're the only person.
What is a BMW face?
You don't know?
No.
I'm making it right now. Let's see if you can tell like a difference in my vocality.
Okay.
Yeah, guys, I'm just making my BMW face now. Oh, it does. It shifts my mouth.
It sounds classier, I think.
Yeah. Should I make it for the rest of the show?
More streamlined.
I have a question for you. What would be less creepy? this person who says, I know I am a car. Mm-hmm. Or someone who wrote in saying, I like to pretend that I'm a car. Like, I would almost prefer they have the commitment to being a car, that like this person does. I know I am a car.
I mean, what could possibly lead to... This is obviously some sort of deep, deep delusion that he's been cultivating for years. What could possibly... What was the seed? What was the inception that really got in his noggin and planted this idea in his head? Is it...
He watched Turbo Teen.
Yeah.
And he saw Turbo Teen eat something hot and change into a car.
Okay, you're going like, to have to explain. Because that sounds like some obscure 1980s cartoon stuff.
Okay, then you already know.
Okay.
It sounds like you cracked this case already. He's Turbo Teen. He'd eat something hot and he'd turn into a car.
That sounds like the dumbest.
Did you say he'd eat something hot, like spicy?
Yes.
And he'd turn into a car?
Or he'd get hot. Like, he just got hot, he turned into a car. Turbo Teen.
That's the crappiest superpower.
Yeah, that's a bad
crap. It's awkward.
That's what happens if you're on, like, a first date, but you're at, like, an Indian restaurant, and you eat some, you know, some chicken tandoori with a little in it, and yeah. like you.
What about when you get into like later on in the evening? You get into that heavy petting, and all of a sudden she's got a handful of chrome.
And also, more importantly, she's crushed to death underneath your car that you
underneath
are.
Underneath your car body. The sauna is another weird one, because you're just there with a bunch of naked guys, and all of a sudden there's a car in a towel, and they just crushed all of them, because it's not a big sauna. So
I have to know more about this question.
Are there answers? Like,
there are. This one is by Yahoo Answers user Come On People, who says... It's completely normal. What's not normal is how you think you're a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. Just face it. You're a Chevy like the rest of us. Yahoo Answers user Nightwish responded, I'd rather eat worms than drive a Chevy. Be a man. Drive a Ford.
And this is what it devolves into.
Yahoo Answers user Mitch G says, you, sir, are a complete lunatic.
There. Thank you. We got back around to it.
I like to think that that's a my brother and me listener.
Yeah.
Who was combing through Yahoo Answers and found this question and answered, hey, you're crazy balls.
Oh, man.
Is there a more perfect symbol for the internet? The one human being says, I am a car, and another one says, I like different cars. Like, what? What are you? Didn't you hear the first thing, the thing that just happened?
If you guys were cars, or you know what? So let's open it up. Any form of motorized locomotion, what do you think you'd go with?
If I was a form of...
Dune buggy, Travis, really?
Yeah.
I don't get that. You don't seem like you're a big fan of the dunes.
No, I just want to be a dune buggy. They're awesome.
Okay.
It's like a psychological
like association test. Like, what are you? What
I would be a derailed train.
Ooh, that's pretty poetic, Travis.
That's deep.
Justin, thank you. Anything?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a hearse that used to be a hearse, but then somebody turned it into a pizza wagon.
I like it.
Or maybe a Segway. Maybe a Segway.
No, that's good.
Hey, that's two. Where do you want to order? We can do Domino's. We can do Pizza Hut.
Yeah, that would be really upsetting because you get so excited for your pizza to show up. Like, you know how, like, when you see the pizza wagon roll up, like, it's the most exciting moment of your life.
Why do you always
if it's in a hearse?
Pizza funeral. That's my least favorite place. The pizza graveyard is my least, and you always want to order from there.
Although their corpse crust is just really so good. It's out of this world. I would, of course, be a G6 or like a G6.
Yeah.
I think I'm G6 like the way that I like to fly so high.
Hey guys, my sister-in-law is pregnant. Not only does she want to put one of her sonogram pictures on her Christmas cards this year, she wants to Photoshop a little Santa hat on her unborn child.
Yes.
Yes, she does. How do we politely explain to her that this is the worst idea ever?
You don't do that. You don't do a thing.
In fact, I would suggest like a series of these. Doing different things, like a little cowboy hat.
Maybe he's playing a little flute, a little pan flute in there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Ask her to make it good for a bunch of different religions and like Photoshop a little yarmulke on him and put Happy Hanukkah, because that would be adorable.
I mean, it depends on how far along he is, right? Like, if he's still like just a wee little zygote, I do not think that particular form of human being is capable of doing many things. Although I don't think you could capture that in a sonogram. That might be a little
And if it is a zygote, an inappropriate response is to go, not too late. And that's like, not. don't do that. Like, will Santa visit you in the womb? Does Santa?
Absolutely.
Will he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a tight fit.
There's some, you don't read that Christmas story very frequently. It's pretty apocryphal. But yeah, they he can get down in there.
What's the chimney? Like, what is he? Does he turn it on you? Like, doesn't go the way you expect, and like, does the nose? Is that
No? It's your butt.
It's your butt. That's right. Santa's a little kind of on the. It's a little literal. Mm-hmm. Santa he's not a creative man.
That's why
he's
busy. That's not the most popular Christmas story ever. It's not the best story ever told.
It's not. It's the most upsetting story. Listen, you're gonna have to be pretending that you really can't get enough of this kid for years to come. You might as well start now. Mm-hmm. Might as well just keep it to yourself. I watch Die Hard every Christmas Eve and have done so for the past decade or so. It's been a long-standing tradition after 1 year when it was the only remotely Christmas-related movie my head on not watched by Christmas Eve. What? Okay. Nothing gets me more pumped for a special day than watching Bruce Willis kill German thieves. Would you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie? And is this tradition as awesome as I think it is? Or is it just plain weird? Simply, sincerely, McLean at Merrymas.
Yes.
Yeah. Guess what?
It's awesome.
It's awesome,
right?
I do
this, too.
And of course Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It's the best Christmas movie.
I mean, it's a Christmas movie in the same vein that Home Alone is a Christmas movie, or Love Actually is a Christmas movie. Like, they aren't mired in Christmas themes, but they do take place at Christmas, and they get me Christmassy feeling.
Down deep
in my gut.
Where your heart used to be.
Doesn't Bruce Willis at one point kill a dude and put a Santa hat on him?
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
There's your link.
Ho, 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 I got a machine gun. Christmas.
Yep.
Ho, 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 holidays is what you should say. Mm-hmm. Ho, ho, holidays, I have a machine gun. Hey, it's the Christmas traditions are, by and large, whatever you attach value to. And if you have, if that gives you that traditional feeling, that Christmassy, nostalgic feeling to watch Die Hard with your family, it's totally appropriate. Mm-hmm. And not weird at all.
Hey, do you guys want to try and guess my favorite line from Die Hard?
Tell me.
Oh my God, the quarterback is toast.
is that your favorite one?
That's my absolute. That might be my favorite line in any. That might be my favorite sentence ever spoken.
I like the old classic. Yippee-ki-yay, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Christmas, you Christmased that one.
weasel lover.
Mother plucker. I feel like around the holidays, people start crushing harder on others. My theory is that the cold weather increases the like factor. Am I crazy for this holiday-like theory, or do you find it true as well, Griffin? What?
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 I imagine that sentence going like this. Or do you find this true as well, Griffin?
No, I guess... No, he has a point. I'm the only single person. I'm the only batch left on the show, right? So, I hope I'm the only one who's still crushing. Unless you guys crush on your wife and girlfriend, respectively.
Sure,
which is
it's
very romantic.
We're required to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is... Yeah, that's a thing.
It is, right?
It is. It's because you're so lonely, right? You're so... Oh, man. How lonely is it today? Let me check the barometer. Super, super lonely. And it's cold outside, which sucks, so you want to be with someone in a cuddle position. And also, it's Christmas, and, you don't have any presents. Like, none. You have zero presents. That's totally a thing. It's not a like factor. It's a quiet, snowy desperation. Mm-hmm.
That is my favorite Sufjan Stevens album, by the way. Quiet, Snowy Desperation.
The funny thing is you can put a time limit on these relationships, and they'll go from about November 20th to February 15th.
Yeah, it's Groundhog Day. That's actually why Groundhog Day was invented. Because mm-hmm. it gives you an idea of how much longer this farce is going to go on.
Saw his shadow, baby. I'm
See,
sorry.
I usually push it back to spring training. As soon as spring training starts, that's a baseball reference. Then I know it's about quitting. It's closing time. She doesn't have to go home, but she absolutely cannot stay here.
it gets weird though, because it's like I've lived this day 20 times, and I keep having to break up with you on it. Yeah. I really wish I don't know what to do here. I'm pretty sure I need to get out of the relationship. Maybe I should learn to play piano.
That is the trend.
Hey guys, I'm driving with my best friend, who's like my brother, from NYC to Ohio for Christmas. Normally other people are there, so I just sit in the back and read with my iPod on. Since it will just be he and I, I'll have to interact. What are some fun things the brothers McElroy do on long car rides? Road trip and Gmail. Good question.
I did this yesterday.
Did you? Yeah. But you're with Evan, our buddy Evan Minsker, friend of the show.
This is going to sound like a joke, but this is why this year I started listening to podcasts. And, it also happened to be the year that I started doing a podcast, but seriously, it saved my life. Because I used to live in this kind of crummy suburb of Cincinnati where there wasn't anything to do, and it was 30-minute drive to get to Cincinnati to do anything. And so I started listening to podcasts. And seriously, there's no better way. It has turned my driving experience, into an absolute treat.
Is that a good shared activity?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
the best thing about podcasts is they take care of the talking for you. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to run out of things to talk about on, like, a 12-hour drive.
Yeah,
so
even if it's with,
for
like...
the first hour, you pop on your podcast, you're good for, like, another 9 hours.
Even if it's with your best, like, Evan's my best friend. Like, you know, it's still a lot of conversation to do. Mm-hmm. So you take the burden off both people and listen to a funny podcast.
It's also good to have...
Oh, sorry, go on.
No, it's good to have that in the back, like, absolutely, as a backup plan. You should have some in there to mix up your repertoire mm-hmm. when the conversation slows.
I also really like stand-up comedy CDs.
Yeah,
Aziz Ansari is one of my favorite road trip CDs to listen to.
Sure. I mean, that used to be my jam. I think that podcasts have replaced that need for me, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, most of my things revolve around that, like books on tape, podcasts, stand-up comedy. It's all pretty much someone else doing the talking for me.
Some games. There's always Spot the Car is fun. Mm-hmm. Spot the Letter. We like to do that one. We used to play a game called Ghost, which we would do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we would play Ghost on long. Round?
Not
no,
R.
We're not going to play
No, S. We're not.
That's not a...
Ghost is a game where you take turns. God, this is like the nerdiest.
No, do it. This game is so fun. I actually miss it.
It's a good holiday game too.
Yeah, you take turns. Each person gives a letter in sequence. You go in order, and each person gives a letter. And the idea is to work towards spelling a word. But the first person to actually spell a word, or to use a letter that could not be used in the word is out mm-hmm. or penalized. So let's you know what?
Let's do
it's
it.
The holidays.
Yeah.
Let's play.
All right,
quick
we'll
round.
Go in order of age descending.
Okay. S.
T.
O.
C.
Ooh. Yeah.
So at this point, Travis has the option of saying K and spelling stock, which he will lose, or trying to play it off like he knows another word that starts with Stia.
But see, Travis is also sitting in front of his computer, which adds a whole new level to Ghost.
No, I'm going to say K. Let's end this.
Game over.
Yeah, not necessarily the funniest bit we've ever done, but I feel like...
not a classic NBA moment. It's not going to make the tape, the mixtape.
But we just gave everyone a present, because you can play that game at any time of day.
There are probably nerds shouting at their radios right now, like, he should have said H.
Stotching.
Stotching.
You could also... There are other road games you could play. You could play Hide the Carrot.
Fun.
There's
Will He Notice?
Will He Notice is a great game.
The Badger's Secret.
Always good. That's an old Victorian parlor game.
One of these is poisoned.
You start clapping. Everybody claps, and they say, "The Badger's Secret is that I'm alone."
Listen, gone to two Christmas parties for the past 3 days where I suggested that we play that game. I couldn't think of the name of it. Like, the game from the Albert Finney version of The Christmas Carol. And people looked at me like I was a madman. And it dawned on me that, like, not everybody has seen the Albert Finney version of A Christmas Carol.
To be fair, Griffin, if you had said, "Let's play The Minister's Cat," they still would have looked at you weird.
The Minister's Cat is a lonely cat. The Minister's Cat is a something cat.
Hey, Griffin. Downstairs, I got that DVD. As soon as we're done with this, let's just watch fire it up.
If it's just befuddling that some people haven't seen
Scrooge, track it down. Yeah. My husband's family has a Christmas morning tradition of putting the baby Jesus into the crib in the nativity, and the whole family sings "Happy Birthday to Jesus." Oh no, I think this is strange. My husband grew up with this tradition, so he thinks it's normal. Could you guys clear things up and tell us, is it weird?
Man, this is so half and half.
I think that, I almost feel like we've done this once, but as a goof, because who would do that?
Here's the thing. If you were singing to the actual baby Jesus, in a crib. That's the thing. My hang-up with this isn't that they're singing Happy Birthday to Jesus. It's that they're singing Happy Birthday to a tiny little baby Jesus statuette. I'm against singing to inanimate objects in any form.
But aren't we supposed to imagine that he's, like, floating above them and, like, approvingly clapping his hands along or nodding or whatever?
Well, then they could, like, sing it to the heavens, but to say it to a little clay figurine is weird.
Yeah, that's idolatry, dog. That's sin number one.
Oh, that is true.
Here's what you do. Christmas, they start singing. You pick up the nativity and smash it on the ground.
And you yell, idolaters. And then you...
No false gods!
You very, very, like, forcefully try and drag each of them to the oven. And burn them. Fucking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego style.
Keep it down, Shadrach. I'm taking you to the oven. That
sounds this funny. Is a George Foreman grill. You cannot put me in this.
I'm going to do you very slowly. Put half of your hand in here. A friend of mine recently told me she's planning on getting gifts for me and a few of her friends for Christmas. I told her getting friends gifts wasn't a thing we usually did, and she said she just had some ideas in mind and rarely gets to shop for guys, and she isn't expecting or wanting something in return. Should I run out and get something and tell our friends what she's planning, or just let her give gifts as she pleases, stumped in suburbia?
Ooh. Oh, God, this is so tough.
Wow.
This is tricky. Something.
It's the unspoken contract of gift giving. You don't have to give someone a gift just because they gave you one, but you're going to feel like a douche if you don't.
This is why you should have. You've got to. This is a warning for everybody. You've got to have some backup gifts.
Oh, yeah.
Just some random wrap, like a Snuggie. Everybody wants one.
Put, like, a bottle of wine in the back of your car and a nice bag. Cheese tray, something like that.
But then you get screwed here. Up. What if, like, your five-year-old nephew gives you a gift? You can't be like, hey, son, here's
He gets the Snuggie.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, if all you have is wine.
You get this grape juice.
Enjoy. I like to have a tin of dance butter cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Say, here, eat these, baby.
But have you guys ever received one of those bonus presents? And, like, you know.
Yeah,
of course you know.
To answer your actual question, the impetus is not on you to fix this.
Yeah.
Like, gifts are nice. It's nice to get gifts. And, you know, if your friend's going to do something that might make people uncomfortable, you are not going to be able to fix this situation. Because then, think about this conversation you have to have. Hey, you should get Angela a gift. Like, that, it's bossy and nosy, and you have advance notice, though. You don't have an excuse. You have to get her a gift.
Yeah.
That's not an option for you. You know what else is good? Scarves. That's a good multi-purpose
I believe it's
gift.
Scarves.
It's scarves. No, scarves.
Scarves.
Like Garfield does lasagna. Scarves. Scarves.
This is a good object lesson, not for our listeners stumped in suburbia, but for the type of people that he's talking about. Don't get random people presents. It's really nice and everything like that, but you're going to sideswipe them and come out of nowhere. And
then you're not going to get anything in exchange.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's the point, but it will make the other person feel uncomfortable because they don't have anything for you.
Mm-hmm. Unless you get them a Snuggie, and then they will feel comfortable for all of their days. Yes. How about a Yahoo Answer?
Tell me.
This one was sent in by Maddie B. Thank you, Maddie B. It's by Yahoo Answers user Raw, who asks, would your parents explain sex if you put it in your Christmas wish list?
What?
There's additional details, but I feel like we need to address the first question first. Would your parents explain sex if you put it in your Christmas wish list? It sounds like he's asking. His parents never explained sex.
Uh huh.
He's requesting on his Christmas list that they
to learn about sex.
That they do the birds and the bees talks.
See, this is another good reason not to have lists.
Because you can put some crazy stuff like that in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a pretty important present if they skipped out on that. I don't know about you guys. I received a series of lectures.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that he has to outsmart his parents about it. Like, oh, you got me. All right. I guess you got to have the talk now. You did put it on your list. Good call.
Is this question asker wanting this information? Like, are they in need of this? Like, they know how to ask Yahoo to ask their parents?
Let me bust out the additional details.
Okay.
I'm 20 and still awful at it.
Oh, no.
Now, we just broke through the crust into the creepy, creepy mantle of this question.
Wow. So you are wanting sex tips.
Like, oh, not, no.
You want to go to your mom and dad and say, hey, mom and dad, teach me how to Dougie. Mm-hmm. Like, is that what you're saying?
I mean, he is saying something like that.
I'm still terrible at it. I need mom and dad to teach.
Hey, daddy.
God. Hey, daddy. My daddy, I love you. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Papa.
Do you enjoy your bowling ball? Good. I'm trying to rearrange some guts, and I could use some pro tips, daddy.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Jesus.
And I know it's Jesus'
Nothing
birthday.
Nothing says a family get-together like sex tips.
And everything, but I'm getting laughed at over here. I'm getting some coital giggles that I could really do without. So if you have like a strategy guide that I could crack the spine of...
Hey, Daddy, after Rudolph, could you jot me down some charts, maybe some diagrams?
But just jot me out anything. Like a Venn diagram of what to do and where to do it.
Yeah, how to do it, how you do. Oh. Hey, but listen, if your wife's pregnant, stay away from the butt, because that's Santa's town.
That's Santa's town. Get out of there.
That's Santa's territory tonight.
You're blocking Ho-Ho's exit, and, like, he needs to... He's got places
He's got a lot of houses, man. He can't stay in your wife's uterus all night. Please. Please, let's it out.
Oh, man.
Let's it out.
We hope everyone had the foresight who was listening to this with their family to head that question off at the past.
Yep.
Let's just slow it on down. Okay. I need an idea for a new holiday tradition for me and my husband. This is our first Christmas as a married couple. Also, we're really non-traditional, so go crazy, brothers. We're looking... So go crazy, brothers. We're looking for fun. Thanks. In need of holiday cheer, Gmail.
This is awesome. I've been doing this so much up in Chicago, because I don't know too many people up in there, except for my two roommates. And we've had to make our own, you know, holiday experiences. Didn't follow through on a lot of them, though. But we had some good ideas.
Well, why don't you... Don't keep us in suspense.
We almost went to the zoo.
Okay.
That's...
How was your Christmas?
It was good. Zoo. We almost went to the zoo.
Pretty good. We our Christmas Eve tradition is... On Christmas Eve, the three of us and our papa go on a walk, and we've been doing that for literally two decades. Every Christmas Eve, we'll take a walk. Travis isn't going to be in this year. We think we're going to have him on speakerphone.
Yeah, we'll Skype him.
Yeah, we'll Skype him in, but he can't. He has to promise he's walking in the cold. That's a pretty dumb tradition because, wow, it is cold.
It's so cold.
But it's we talk about what happened during the year and year in review type thing.
That's the nice thing about any holiday tradition or any tradition to begin with. It really can be anything. You just have to say, like, let's do this every year. Your tradition can be to eat hot dogs and watch Rambo every year. And then it's your own, or Die Hard.
Oh, another one? Me and my roommate watched, we were going to watch all of the extended Lord of the Rings movies, but we only made it through about one and a half.
Huh.
So maybe your tradition is falling through.
Yeah.
He beat me to it. So there's that. What about, I'll tell you, some of my favorite holiday traditions center on baking.
Baking, I was going to say baking, yeah.
That's good. Always good. Let me give you a quick recipe, okay?
Hit it.
Third cup of butter, 40 big marshmallows. Heat them up on low till they're melted. Teaspoon of green food coloring. Then 6 cups of cornflakes. You mix that all together, and then you shape it into a wreath. Put some people like red hots for berries. Some people like, I use mint M&Ms, red mint M&Ms to make the berries. put it, you know, on some wax paper, make a wreath shape. You got a holiday, like, delight there that is good.
I want to see some JPEGs of people who actually made that.
Oh, yeah, make that Christmas wreath.
I made, and this isn't just, I made this last night. Like, this
and it
is,
was
a It's a McRoy family favorite.
Yeah, I don't know any other people that do that.
I thought about the other day, and somebody looked like I was, like, explaining the miracles of birth to them. They were amazed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it is flavor birth, practically.
Yeah.
It's the birth of delicious.
Chewy flavor birth.
I want to hear
Hey,
Griffin's-
hold on.
Yeah?
I can tell you when to end the show, but I have another Yahoo that really needs exploring.
Okay.
Is that okay? I know we're going long, but it's Christmas.
It sure. is Christmas.
This is a Yahoo Answers question that I found by myself, which I haven't done in a long time.
We're very proud of you.
Hey, you followed through on something.
At least. It took me a long time. I don't know how people keep doing this because it's really difficult. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. It's by Yahoo Answers user Balls W, who asks, oh, man. How can I tell my 9-year-old son I'm not going to like his Christmas present? I found my Christmas present in his room when I was snooping. How can I tell him that I don't really want a mug?
Bitch, I don't drink coffee. I don't like my brother and me. Why don't you get me this mug?
That's going to be a really rough conversation, Balls W, because it seems pretty contrary to the spirit of the holidays. Hey,
Stop crying. Stop crying, champ.
Henry, let's have a chat. I don't want to act surprised on Christmas or delighted, but I know about the mug. You goofed.
You goofed. You did a bad job.
You goofed.
You done effed up.
Do I look like a man who has a lack of things to bev out with? Because I have plenty of... I have a wide array of Tervis tumblers. Of cups, handled cups. I'm you all know, set on that front.
You know, Henry, it's gifts like this that made your mother and I get divorced. So, good job.
Henry, good job. Am I on the naughty list? What have I done to get on your personal naughty list? What did I do? Where did I go wrong?
You know what you should do? You should flip it right on its ear and give him presents that he doesn't want.
You just give him mugs.
Like, hey, here's TurboTax 2009 edition. You're going to love it.
Guess you just learned a lesson, a thing or two. I guess you really taught him.
Now no one's happy. Merry Christmas.
I think if you don't like a mug, you got to wait till you open it and smash it against the wall. Because that would be such a great visual image that he will live with. He's not, he's, I tell you, if you take your 9-year-old son's Christmas gift, it's a mug. You take it, you look at it, you make a face like you're retching inside, like, and then you smash against the wall. That kid's, I don't know if he's going to grow up angry or generate, but he's going to grow up special. He's going to be a special person, a light, a special
he will
person
be unique.
In this world.
Henry, why are you acting like a car? Oh, well, you see, when I was 9, my dad didn't like my Christmas gift.
So now I made my BMW face.
Listen.
Beep, beep. Please move.
Bad news, Balls W. Nobody under the age of, let's say, 15 has ever bought a Christmas present for anybody that they wanted.
No.
You don't learn how to do that. You don't learn how to divine people's, you know, desires until at least age 15, I think. And even that's pretty ahead of the curve.
What kind of budget is your 9-year-old working
on? Yeah.
Yeah, right? I have a sister-in-law. She's a youngster. She's just now turning 10, and I wish I had a museum of the Christmas presents that I've gotten from her because they are awesome. And if you don't like a little kid's present that they got you, you're probably a monster. Mm-hmm. And I would like for you to die.
Hey, can we curse?
What?
I really want to curse this guy out because he sounds like a real.
No, okay. It's the holidays. It's the holidays.
Earmuffs,
parents.
Earmuffs, parents.
F*** you, Balls W.
Good. Well worth it. Mm-hmm. I want to hear Griffin's last question. But thank you for tuning in to our show that we almost made it through without cursing. This is My Brother Meets, an advice show for the modern era. If you're a new person, you can find us at mbmbam.com. Subscribe there. You can ask us questions there. You can talk about us on Twitter. We love to see holiday quotes. If you want to get us something for Christmas, spread the link to the show around on your Twitter feed and your Facebook and pretty much everywhere. Share it with somebody you love. Burn it on a CD. Burn some episodes on a CD. Say, hey, check this show out. I got it for you. Merry Christmas. It's the Christmas gift that says, yeah, it's a file that I burned. You can email us if you need us, mbmbam@gmail.com. The day has passed for orders on the store, but maybe if you want to get somebody a nice after Christmas present or a New Year's present, you can buy them a t-shirt and mug.
A photo of something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good callback.
Yeah, that's a nice one. And I think that's it. Thank you. This will be we'll probably have one next week, but thank you guys so much for this year of support and attention and listenership and everything that you've given to us. It really means more than we could say.
And this has been the best thing that has happened to me this year is this podcast. So sincerely. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
That's awkward.
An awkward finish.
I don't have a lot going for me.
Okay.
I mean, listen, times have been tough. Maybe.
Okay.
Hey. Let's throw it off to Ludacris.
I would actually rather listen to Dad teach me how to have sex than listen to you do this sad sack business again. So why don't you give me that last guy?
Are we going to mention after the show there's a special treat?
Oh, yeah. Not after the show, but if you get MBMBAM, the app experience, which is also, we haven't talked about this, it's on the Android store.
Oh, yeah.
You can get MBMBAM, the app experience in the Android store, get all the bonuses and crap that we release. And we'll probably re-release some of the older ones just so you Android guys can check them out.
Am I the only one who thinks that the Android store isn't nearly as cool as it sounds?
It sounds way cooler. Yeah, you're right. But we got a song from our boy Jay Phonic. It's That Christmas Creep. He turned it into a full song. You'll really enjoy it. So check that out. And remember, you can gift someone the app experience if you want for the Christmas. That's a gift that says I tried. And that's it, Griffin.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Absolutely.
Oh. Travel safe.
Travel safely. We love you.
This one was sent in by Dante. Thanks, Dante. It's by Yahoo Answers user Shane Fargo, who asks, my veins spell out king. Is this common? Any significance?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart, hey. Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart, man. These girls are smart, three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part.
Hi, I know this sounds kind of awkward or crazy, but on my left wrist, my veins spell out the letters K-I, and on my right wrist, my veins spell out N-G. My middle name is, in fact, King. I've noticed this for the last 2 years, and it will never go away, it seems like. I know my family is related to royalty. I just want to know if this is common, or if I'm just a king without his crown. What a douche.
Happy birthday, Jesus.